I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times in a Podcast. Just before we get started, want to thank our sponsors for this episode, footballprizes.co.uk. Best website to go to if you're wanting to win some fantastic football prizes. As usual, there's some great Celtic prizes on there this week. This week's competition is for some FIFA Ultimate Team cards. There's a signed Aaron Moy one, signed James Forrest one, and a signed Issa Maeda one. If you want to be in a chance of winning that, go to footballprizes.co.uk and enter. If you put your code in, Tim's10, it'll get you 10% off. And this competition ends on Monday at 7:30. But thanks to Football Prizes for their continued support, and we'll get on with the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of Tuesday the 11th of April. It was a fantastic weekend for us and a fantastic weekend for Celtic as we won a 5-goal, I wouldn't call it a classic because I think it was anything but, as we'll go on to discuss, but we won a 5-goal epic game against Rangers to move 12 points clear with only 7 games to go in the league. Tony, I'll bring you in. As I said there, I don't think it was a classic game. I don't think anybody, like, I don't think we played as well as we did in the semi-final, perhaps, but all Saturday about was, first and foremost, not losing the game, but to go out and win that game, just, you'll not hear Ange say it for another few weeks, but surely that's it. The league's done now. What was your thoughts on Saturday?
Well, I thought it was a classic, going by what I've read. It was a fantastic away performance for Rangers. If Clancy wasn't the referee, if Raskin and Cantwell had played, if your auntie Boz should be your uncle. I've seen in the media, apparently we were rattled. As a big refereeing conspiracy, Celtic controlled the media. And if it wasn't for all the things, Rangers would have beat us. But back outside the asylum, I thought we were okay. I didn't think we were great. I don't think it was a thriller either, as you say. There was a lot of mistakes. I think your first goal was really good play. I thought Matt Riley stepped up, and I was absolutely delighted for him. Kyogo does what he does. He's just lethal in the penalty box. I thought their free kick was very, very good. I don't think anybody can really deny that. It's one of the ones there's no much he could do. I didn't think they'd really created it up to that point. Again, we've got a head against them and you're waiting on us to really pile it on, and we didn't quite do it. I know there's been so much discussion about the Morelos push on Alistair Johnson. I mean, my genuine thing is, it's maybe slightly harsh on them, they're both at each other, but the decisions that mob have got their way this season, I don't think there's been a penalty went against them for about 40 games or something ridiculous, and the shite we've put up with, I really don't care. The second goal, it's Ben Davies just makes a total ass of it and then headers it off Jota's midriff. Doesn't he touch his hand? I don't know what Michael Beale and the Hall of Famer are seeing there, but it's just excuses. Kyogo again. Clinical third goal again. I don't know what the fuck John Souter's doing. And then Alan McGregor, what age is he? He's about 42 or 43. Couldn't get anywhere near. I'm surprised he didn't just fucking lunge at Jota, to be honest, because he's off his nut. But no, 3-1 up. The party starts, and then just another shite goal to lose. How you know Martin Tavernier at the back stick? I've watched that again. I'm thinking, could Joe Hart could just come out and go to it? I don't know if that's me being harsh on Hart. But after that, I thought we were reasonably comfortable. They just cross the ball. And, I mean, that has been their style of play since I can remember. They will cross the ball for fucking anywhere and cross their fingers. It was a bit like playing like an Aberdeen where they'll get a free kick like just in your half and everybody just piles into the box. It's just pure percentage football. So that's one thing for the semi-final, just try and stop crosses and watch for their kind of the likes of Tavernier coming in at the back. But I must admit, I was pretty pissed on Saturday, as in I was drunk. I don't mean pissed off. I was delighted. But I really don't remember that guy asking, doing anything great. I don't know if that was because I was so drunk, but the way he's been built up, the boy Cantwell, I think, spent more time in the deck. Just the report since then is if Rangers were really hard done by it. I'm not buying it at all. I don't think we were anywhere near our best. I thought we played okay at times, but that was not Celtic at their dominant best. But I still thought we were better than them, be quite a margin. I thought we passed it better. I thought we created the better chances. Burnaby should have made it 4-2. But no, just some strange stuff in the paper, and obviously their forums are just holy fuck. I was reading something last night. I think this is the one to ban Clancy and Nick Walsh for iBooks. And then there was some other thread about Scientology. I didn't read that one. I couldn't actually bring myself to. But no, the meltdown they've had has been just fantastic. I mean, it's the fact that it's Kyogo and Ange that are fucking knocking fuck right out of them when a year and a half ago they laughed at the both of them and thought they were on their way to a kind of period of domestic dominance, and it's no worked out that way. So it's great. It's great to stick the boot into them, and obviously they've sent threats to that guy Clancy, which isn't a surprise. And everything they said we were in terms of we're paranoid and we're always getting after referees, they've just turned into exactly what they says we were. So it's been hilarious to watch. And I know Tavernier's already come out and says, I think we'll see the real Rangers in the semi-final. So don't get me wrong, eventually, he's got to get it right eventually. They will beat us eventually, I don't doubt that. But no, it was a great weekend. And as you, I think your first kind of initial question was, yes, the league title is just about home and dried. I think the big man's just so relentless. I spoke to him. I was in his conference before the game, and a guy just seems so calm and just always seems just one game at a time, and he just bats any questions away about, oh, is that the title going to be done? I think he'll be putting so much focus on the importance of beating Kilmarnock, and I just don't see how Kilmarnock over 90 minutes better is unless we have a terrible off day. I mean, I'd like to think we win our next kind of few games, and that's it. Obviously, the semi-final is the big one. He might rest players against Motherwell, but if you're resting Maida, you're bringing in Haksabanovic. If you're resting Kyogo, you're bringing in Oates. No, if you're bringing in young guys or poorer players, you're bringing in real quality. So, no, massive credit to Ange and the team, especially the likes of Jota and Kyogo. And I thought I need to mention Alistair Johnson. I don't mind just turning right away 3 months in, he's miles better than Juranovic, because Juranovic is a very, very good player, but he's been unbelievable. He's got great dig, he's a very good football player, and he just seems to get it. I know that's kind of cliche, but I thought he was just great. He reminded me a bit like a Kieran Tierney performance. He was just flying into everything, but he had that. It wasn't as if he was just flying in for the sake of it. He was making great tackles. He was full of passion, and he's a right good player. So I thought he was just superb. Again, big O when he came on, does what he does best. He put Burnaby through. He was very strong. And Burnaby was trying to pass to answers on a postcard. No idea. He should have sealed the deal and sent 60,000 to Argentina. But overall, I'm delighted. I mean, Michael Beale's done nothing but talk about him since he came in. And he's beaten them a grand total of 0 times. He fucked up a cup final with his team selection. He fucked up a potential cutting the gap to 6 points with his subs. And then on Saturday's team just fell to bits and kept making stupid mistakes. And we were right there to punish them for it. So, I think as much as we're winning great, the team deserve a lot of credit. We've won every domestic home game this season. And we're on track for a few records. But as I says already, it's very much send on Kilmarnock and we'll take it through there.
Aye, definitely. I think that it was the best we've played. But I think the main thing on Saturday was that we, even when we were on a free-flowing best, like a lot of the success we had was due to the relentless sort of pressing we've got from this Ange team. Like, you've got guys like Kyogo and Jota and just everybody in the team who's always there hassling people. Like, first goal, as you say, well, obviously Kyogo had one disallowed for offside early, and then there was the Morelos one, which I think it's a foul. I think I've seen them given against Celtic. I think depends what angle you want to watch, if you want to like create a narrative either way, because there's clearly they're both at it, but at the same time, there's angles that show Morelos has a clear push at Alistair Johnson, so it is a foul, and as you say, the reaction to it has just been ridiculous. And I think if you'd asked anybody coming out of Celtic Park on Saturday what they thought of the game and how they thought the referee done, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody, any Celtic fan that was impressed by Clancy, because I thought he was terrible as well. I thought he seemed to break the play up for them the whole time. He would give them every time they'd hit the deck, they seemed to get a foul. You mentioned that they seemed to just, I think you put it in a group chat, they'll sort of cross a bond, cross your fingers and hope for the best. That was their sort of game, and playing for set pieces, as you say, very similar to like an Aberdeen or a Hibs or a Hearts, where they just come and that's where they look to get their success. And we overcame it, like as we have like at every time at home this season. We've got a flawless domestic record. That's 16 wins out of 16 league games. It's incredible. We've obviously got Motherwell before the split, and then another 2 home games in the league. It'd be quite a feat to win every home game, and I think this team's well capable of it, because as I say, like the first goal, you're giving credit to Matt O'Reilly. I've been probably more critical than most, and I know he has taken a lot of pelters the last few weeks, like more widespread, but I as usual attest to on Saturday morning, I was desperate for him to start. I thought he'd give Mary a balance to the midfield, and I thought he did stand up and was very good, and especially that first half, as you say, it's his drive and determination that sets Kyogo up for the opener. And I think especially like the impact he had when Aaron Moy, who was just back from injury, clearly wasn't at his best. Like, I think there was times in the first half where I know Moy's never the quickest player, but there was one occasion when he was robbed by Tillman, and he seemed to just be a bit lackadaisical and sort of caught on the ball that time. And I think in general there was a few that didn't really play to the standards have been set, and I even called guys like Carter Vickers in that. I know he defended well enough, but I thought his passing especially was pretty poor. There was a few times he seemed to pass it direct to Rangers players, and I think that sort of, like in years gone by when you've seen guys like Ayer and Van Dijk at Celtic, where I think maybe Starfelt and Carter Vickers could potentially improve in future, when you have got better teams who are sort of pressing you higher and cutting the gaps, like that's when they should look to maybe bring the ball out a bit more. I think that would be sort of my only criticism of the defence. And like they obviously get the equaliser just before half time. It's I don't think Hart can do much. He's Wolves well beaten, and the way the ball's put in, it's just under the crossbar. It's a pretty decent free kick, and a bit like I think Tavernier got his 100th goal, but thankfully the two he got on Saturday, much like most of his goals for Rangers, didn't count for much in the end. But we don't really come out in the second half and respond, because I think maybe the last 10-15 minutes of that first half, they sort of were coming in it a bit more, and that wasn't because they were playing excellent football. They were, I think Celtic just weren't there at their tip-top best, and every team's going to have that sort of spell. Like you mentioned, guys like Raskin and Cantwell, I thought Raskin was absolutely anonymous. Like, we speak about getting guys like Johnston and Owen into the place. Jakimakis and Juranovic before they go, they seem to have got Raskin in to replace Lundstrom before he's left, because he seems to be their new kid on hard man that just stares at people. And it was quite incredible, he was the one that was they were bigging up for coming out of Celtic Park and staring at people. And I know where have we seen that before with kid on hard man. I thought that Cantwell just seemed to think he's a bit of a ticket. He was sort of went in late in Greg Taylor. I thought it was a terrible tackle. I know he got booked for it, but the second he got took a few knocks, same with Tillman, I thought they just disappeared out of the game and were never really impacting us in any sort of detrimental way. And as I say, the two later goals, the second and the third goal, like a lot's been made, like people saying, oh, it's Davis's error and then Souter's error, but the errors don't occur if it's not down to Celtic pressing the full game and Kyogo and Jota being the ones, and Matt O'Reilly for the second one as well, and Jota being on the byline. Like, it's, you're forcing them into their mistakes, and now you can call them errors for them, but they're only happening because we're immediately pressing them. And we probably should have kept the game a bit more comfortable when we went 3-1 up. But I know Johnston, some people are blaming Alistair Johnston for the second goal, but I think he's already on Morelos at that point, and I think it came through their corner just before it, and that's why Tavernier sort of floated in at a back post, and somebody should be picking him up, you're right. But I don't think anybody was massively blamed, definitely not Alistair Johnston. I thought he was, as you say, absolutely solid, and apart from one flag pass to Ryan Kent later on, I thought he was just brilliant. And as you say, we should have been more comfortable. Bernabe just sort of got a bit of a nosebleed and when he should have made it 4-2 and sealed it, but we did see it out, and we're absolutely 99% of the way there to 2 in a row under Ange. And we've got two games before the split where if results go away, we could seal it before the split. But whenever we do, I think this team's just so set on achieving their own records, and look, we're on course for 109 points if we win every game, and we're on 98 league goals as well. As I say, we've got that flawless home record in the league as well. It's just, it's really a stunning season we're having again, and all credit to Ange and the players. And I think the best thing that came out of Saturday is that they've blamed everybody apart from themselves, and they've sort of the Rangers fans and managers and players' refusal to accept that we're just a better team and outplayed them is going to lead to them with a sort of false sense of confidence again for the semi-final. And hopefully we do show them up again and get her into another cup final under Ange. But Danny, as we're saying, another massive game, another time when this team stepped up and really shown that they are up to the task, and that there's no real stopping this team when they're in, not even at their best, but just how difficult a task it is to overthrow Celtic at the moment.
Oh, it's a monumental task. I think you two have pretty much covered that. Me and Andy just spectate for the rest of the show, but no, probably agree with what the twoies have said about the game. I mean, I was very drunk watching the game, and I couldn't, when I woke up on Sunday morning, I couldn't believe, I kind of missed all the narrative after the game because, you know, obviously we were getting drunk. But when I got up on Sunday morning, I couldn't believe what I was reading about, just for their fans on Twitter. And this is where they go horribly wrong, and they've got no self-awareness, because Celtic, well, quite obviously not their best, right? But you can turn around and say, well, Rangers pressed well in the first half, and that's kind of true to an extent. But then if you, then on the other hand, they're saying, ah, but we gave them two goals, but they'll not acknowledge that Celtic pressed Rangers. I mean, look at the Souter mistake. It comes through the fact that he looks up and he sees Jota, he sees Kyogo coming towards him, and he knows that Jota and Maeda are probably no far behind, and he just completely panics and plays a horrible pass. And Davis, for the second goal, he knows that Jota's coming in, and I mean, he should just let it go for a corner, but, well, you know, thankfully for us, he didn't. But I thought it was a very, I thought it was an end-to-end game that had very, very low in quality on both teams. But we've got too many good players that will not punish teams if they're slack, and we don't really get punished ourselves, which is why we're the best team and we're going to win the league again. But I thought the first 20 minutes, the thing about when Kyogo scored, Crocker said Rangers have been so good, yet they've been behind. And I thought, well, what game is it? Is it do Rangers deserve credit for not being 3-0 down in the first 20 minutes? Is that, oh, it is, in the way that they've been going on? And Tony kind of mentioned it about being like an Aberdeen or a Dundee United. That's exactly what they've become. It's almost like we say we'd beat Aberdeen 3-2 at Parkhead, and the manager comes out after the game and says, oh, I thought we deserved a draw, and, you know, if things had went our way, you know, we might have got away with a point. And that's the way they've been going on. And it's quite encouraging for us, actually. Because if they can't beat us on an half day, if we turn up, then we'll do some serious damage to them in the semi-final. But I just thought it was a really poor game in quality, and 3-2 sounds like a thriller, but it was anything but, really. You know, I mean, I thought it was a foul. I thought Morelos fouled Johnson. It's not like a bookable offence or a blatant foul, but he shoves him right in front of the referee, and they keep showing the same angle, but yet the one angle which shows him shoving Johnson in front of Kevin Clancy, who's looking straight at it, which completely explains why the foul was given, they just seem to brush over it and say, oh, Johnson, because didn't put how many, I mean, Rangers fans were, Rangers players were doing it to Celtic players up the other end as well, and they were getting fouls in. And there's a thing about the second half where I think it's Johnson's got a grip of somebody in the box, and he was very lucky, you know, to get away a penalty, but that happened five or six times up the other end as well. And I just, like, the narrative about Clancy is just bonkers. He did everything but put the ball in the net for Rangers. And some of the decisions that he made, I mean, he booked Carter Vickers after 7 minutes, which was just a horrible decision. Even leading to that booking, he just watches Cantwell foul, I think it was Taylor, and he got away with it. I mean, he gave a free kick to Rangers at the end, which was just always on his knees, like, pulling out the way, and I think it was Kent just went down and he gave a foul. There was umpteen corners that Celtic should have got that they never got. And he kind of broke up the play, and their game plan, as you have mentioned, is just put the ball into the box and see what happens. And I thought Celtic's first goal was a great move. O'Reilly played really well. He was one of the few players that played really well. Him and Johnson, I thought, were really good for Celtic. And Kyogo's just brilliant. And I mean, they were making up all these jokes online about how he'd never scored against them, and then he's completed the treble against them. He's scored at Parkhead, Ibrox and Hampden on three consecutive games, two in a cup final against them. I mean, he's really turned into a heartbreaker for them, and then they hit back with an equaliser. It was a great free kick. You can't really take it anyway. I thought it wasn't he right in the corner, so you can maybe look at Hart. It was his positioning a wee bit off, but you sometimes just need to put your hands up and say it was a good strike. And then the second half, but you always had the feeling, and even though when you're nervous at these games, you always had the feeling that Celtic were going to go on and win the game. You always felt, you know what, if it comes down to it, we've got too many good players not to put a passage of play together. We've got too many good players on the bench to bring on that they'll not create a chance, or that they'll not force one over the line. Or, you know, you've just got that confidence in the team because they've done it time and time again. And, you know, Moy, I thought, was really poor. And when he came off and a while went on, we seemed to have a lot more balance in the team. We actually seemed to set them up a wee bit, set up a wee bit further forward in the midfield, or a wee bit too deep in the midfield, I thought. O'Reilly kind of battled away the whole game. I thought Taylor had an all right game. I thought Carter Vickers and Starfelt were quite poor. Johnson was man of the match. Quite, you know, it's mad that he's opposite right back, scored twice, but I thought Johnson was far and away the best player in the park. And his pass, I know Kyogo was offside, but his pass for Kyogo's offside goal was brilliant as well. It was perfect for Kyogo just to run on it. I'm not going to go through the whole team, but you know, the players like Jota and stuff, they don't need to have good games. Kyogo, they don't need to have good games to affect them. Whereas you look at their team and they really do need to play well to affect the game. And I think that's just the class that we've got above them. I kept hearing about this Raskin, and he had a couple of neat passes in the game, but when it came to it, he was never, I think he had the fewest touches of every outfield player, which is just, in a midfield in a Celtic Rangers game, is just criminal. You cannot claim he's played well if that's the fact about a derby game in the middle of the park. When, and you know, the thing about Clancy is they're running out of excuses, you know, and it was Gio in September, it was the fact that, you know, Beal hasn't made a signing yet in January when they threw away the lead later on against us. It was because he never played his signings in the cup final, and now it's another excuse, and it's growing tiresome. They just don't want him at the Celtic. They're a good team, and you know, the league's probably is one probably one now. You know, you never want to say for sure because we've seen it before, but the way that we are playing, I can't see us losing four games. It'll need to be five with a goal difference, and them winning them all, because as much as they've been scraping by, they've been scraping by teams, and their fans are telling you how bad they've been, and then when they come up against us, and they don't, I mean, rather push about XG, I can't remember the one genuine chance that I can remember, and it was when the ball fell to Morelos, and he scraffed at it, and Hart put it for a corner. I can't remember them having any other chances. They're sharing a picture on Twitter of Kent he should have put through Morelos, I think, and he just doesn't pass the ball or whatever, but that doesn't count for it if they don't get a chance away. So I don't know why they're sharing that. Is this some sort of thing to beat Celtic with? And even that Morelos chance, that's just, we've turned him into a pot shot at and hope merchant. This is a thing that's psychological with him and us, and it's been happening for the last 4 years. Every time he gets the ball, and he just wants to get a shot out, it doesn't matter where he is, he just wants to score against us, and it's actually been really detrimental to them. And then you see Kyogo, ball falls to him in the box, he takes a touch back to goal, sets himself, puts it in the net, and there you go. And the difference, the gulf in class between the two teams is staggering, and they can, you know, I heard that if we were rattled and Rangers were very good, then how good were Celtic to beat them 3-2? And even at 3-2, I never felt that we were going to throw it away. And even if they would have nicked an equaliser, even with five minutes or less left, I always had a feeling that Celtic would get a part and score again. So I'm just glad to get a win, glad to go 12 clear. I was delighted that we beat them. I was delighted that Beal lost a league game because they've been doing my run. They're talking about winning the league from now on in, and well, you know, it'll be from now on in now. And you know, just really tiresome, and players like Cantwell and that, and like Tillman, I called it out in the September game with Tillman. He spent most of that game trying to get himself sent off. He wants no part in these games. He wants no part in them, and it's pleasing for us because we've got players that relish the big occasion. You look at Johnson, and they just love it. He just wants to get tore in, and thought some of his tackles were brilliant now. And the one, the first half where he slid, it was actually quite early in going to ground, but he won the ball cleanly and it started an attack. And then you just see players like Cantwell, and Cantwell took a dunt off Taylor, and then he wasn't seen for the rest of the game. And Tillman, who, you know, they always make excuses for him, and they've probably made new ones. I don't know if as Tony said, there's only so much you can read of them before you do question your insanity. But no, it was a very pleasing win, Darren, and they can now look forward to like counting down the wins to clinching two in a row and a mere automatic spots to Champions League. But as the nature as it is here, the next big game in the Scottish Cup is going to be huge now.
Just a wee shout out in the pod this week for anybody that might still be struggling with a recovery after the weekend celebrations. Good friends of the podcast over at Soul Suites is the place to be for any cold water therapy or infrared sauna treatment. For anybody that doesn't know, it's been shown recently to sort of help alleviate stress and aid any physical recovery along with a range of other benefits. So what we would suggest is you can find them on Instagram at soulsweets_EK or on the website soulsweets.co.uk. The guys there are brilliant. They'd be happy to get you booked in or answer any questions, queries, anything like that. And also, if you take a look on their Instagram particulars, you can see exactly sort of what it is, how it helps you. There's a lot of feedback for people who've already tried it and their experience. We'll post our stuff on our Twitter and our Instagram just to direct anybody there that's wanting to have a wee look. But aye, the guys there over at Soul Sweets have recently opened, and we said we'd give them a wee shout because it's something which we'd obviously think some people will find beneficial. So aye, check you guys out and thanks for listening.
Definitely, and we'll have a proper preview of that in a few weeks. I don't think Andrew would want us speaking about that now. Andy, just before we move on, we've all spoke a bit about Saturday, so anything else you want to add, who were your standouts for it? As Danny said, that's new from somebody who was, even I think even a Rain fan, someone in my question, would Kyogo finally start scoring against Rangers, and people wanted Giakoumakis and the likes starting ahead of him, but as Danny said, that's now 5 goals in 3 games, and he's done it at Celtic Park, he's done it at Ibrox, he's done it at Hampden. How impressed were you with him and Celtic in general on Saturday?
I agree with a lot of the points that have been made. Kyogo's, I think he's real quality shining through, particularly in these games. And I think a lot of the time, it's like, see, to be fair, even during the game, I mean, saying at half time, to the boy I was sitting next to, I feel as if we could still give him more service, particularly against the two fucking tiddies at the end of the back. Like, honestly, with better service, I just feel Kyogo could score even more against them. He really is a level above. I know somebody already touched on it, but O'Reilly, I was delighted for O'Reilly. His performance, I thought, was the best he's played in a game against them. For the cutback for the goal as well, he's got that in his locker, it really does. And it's obviously more about bringing that out a bit more often. But I thought he was tremendous at times during the game, and does deserve a mention, because I mean, I've even been critical of him at points this season as well. I think he's still young, I think, but still only 21, 22, so I mean, listen, that's going to happen. He's obviously only had a season or whatever it is, maybe 2 MK Dons prior to that, when he would have been 18, 19 coming up here. There's still a lot to learn in his game, and you're seeing him pick up. I think he's got a fucking stupid amount of assists this season. I can't even remember how many it is. I think it's north of 10 anyway. So double figures assists. But one of your midfield threes, brilliant. And the league's not done yet, so he's only going to keep improving. But that was massive for him. And you're seeing a bit of dig about him here and there as well. And I was just delighted for O'Reilly with that performance. I thought he's deserved it. It was, for a while, particularly against them, we've spoken about it for long enough. It was probably just because the state we were in at the time, we were begging just about every time we played Rangers, saying surely Ryan Christie's due a good performance against them or a goal against them or something. And needless to say, he was consistently shite. And it started to feel a bit like, well, surely O'Reilly will play well against them this time. And I was buzzing when it finally happened for him, and things started to come off. But I don't know, for the first 10 minutes, I thought they pressed reasonably well. But I'm much more confident in the terms of how we play and the way that the team go about, is that we don't become rattled by it. We still sort of stick to the principles. And players will still look, even when the crowd get a bit edgy, which fucking still forever be a big frustration. I mean, when the crowd start fucking, you're almost aiding the press at that point. Or a shooting in through the teeth every time somebody plays a backwards pass. But we sort of stick to the guns, and you see after that sort of shocking off first 10 minutes of the game, we settle in. Obviously, we get a goal that gets chopped off, but once we settled into the game, we get into a rhythm a bit. But they were always going to come out like that. That's really all they had. And I thought we'd done well to sort of navigate through that. And then we grew into the game. I thought Moy, I mean, I'd have been fucking taking him off the first 10 minutes after how I seen he was playing, funnily enough. But half time, I was surprised he came out for the second half. He just didn't look up to the speed of the game. He didn't look fit. He looked as if he was almost playing a bit lethargic, and a bit injured. Everything he was doing was slow, just passes were only coming off. I thought quite a lot was breaking down with him. And that's no singling about Aaron Moy been fucking brilliant for long enough this season, but coming off been out for about a couple of weeks now, injured, getting flung back into that game, it was maybe just a bit too soon. But I've no doubts that once he gets up to speed again, he'll be probably one of the first names in the team sheet once more. But I thought we were sort of breaking down a wee bit there. And I thought it was wasn't he one of the best games that Carter Vickers had, but I thought Starfelt, I kind of mean what one is it was that said it there, but I actually thought Starfelt played pretty well. There was a few times he showed his turn of foot. I thought for more often than not, he just bullied Morelos. It's always the same. He looks awkward in the ball, and I think people see that as a sort of something to bash him with, but he didn't do anything daft. And listen, no being stupid and getting the ball away doesn't make it a good performance, but I thought what he'd done really well. I thought there was phases where we were poor, but I mean their two goals come from a free kick that he's fucked Barnes in and somebody peeling away at the back post. Neither of them are the day we hired two centre halves really. They'd have been picking up other people in the box, but I thought Starfelt done pretty well. Yota as well, he had a couple of moments of brilliance. He was obviously coming from getting swapped left and right at times during the game. Probably wanted to see a bit more of Maeda going by Tavernier at right back. I thought we were just a bit slack at some times with a ball in to play it in behind. Maybe try to be a bit too cute with it, but I thought, I kind of mean don't want to use it, mentioned it as well, when after we get by that initial sort of 10-minute spell and then we grew into the game, we started enforcing our press on them, and you've seen the real difference between the two. They reverted to type. They just reverted straight back to just fucking batter the ball, get it high, get it wide, and go for there. They are glorified crossing merchants. They always have been. But it's nothing that we don't know. We need to set up to deal with that. But I thought the referee just fucking lost their end of the game. But I'm not going to talk about fucking conspiracies and all shit. The refs are just fucking brutal. Like, they're just completely brutal. Half the time, I don't think they understand the rules of the game, but there's no common sense used whatsoever. I think it was, 2 minutes after we restarted for the second half, and three of our centre midfielders were booked, and McGregor, O'Reilly and Moy. I think if you added the time that it took for all three of them to get booked, maybe about 10 minutes. But I think that tells you everything, because some of the stuff that bookings were getting dished out for in 1 minute was fucking scandalous. But okay, if that's how you're going to referee a game, that's fine. But that then means every time there's a tackle, which is the same, then that's going to equate to a booking as well, and that just doesn't happen. So the ref is just honestly fucking losing the run of the game at times with stuff like that. There's just a complete lack of consistency. With corners that are getting given the wrong way, throw-ins fucking getting given the wrong way, which just stupid. There was one which he overruled. I can't remember what half it was in, but he overruled the linesman as well. When the linesman's got a better view, it's just constant fucking ridiculous calls for referees. I don't know if it's they want to try and get a name for themselves in these games or something. I can't understand it, but they're just fucking terrible at their job. It's really as simple as that. They're just terrible at their job. On both ends. I think there's terrible decisions given either way. I think we'd be fucking mental to say otherwise, but I mean, they're all absolute moon howlers, so I'm really no surprised the shite they're coming away with. But I mean, most of their team didn't really want anything to do with the game. Tillman couldn't get off the park quick enough. Barisic wanted off the park and all. I forgot Ryan Jack was playing till somebody told me after the final whistle, and I was sitting in the pub about 2 hours later. Cantwell offers them nothing, and again Raskin was to be the saviour. That was the excuse last time he wasn't there, and needless to say, he done absolutely fuck all. Walked about like a hard man and get laughed at with McGregor. That was pretty much the long and short he's day at Parkhead. But I think the quality's shown through. But part of me, I don't know, I think it's obviously ahead of the cup game against them, and that's obviously something we will talk about when we preview that game. But just to sort of get a talking point and move on to the next round. I feel as if, again, I'm coming away for the game, and don't get me wrong, I'm saying we were that bad and you couldn't beat us. Sometimes I feel like I'm saying that a bit too much. Like, if you kind of beat us like this, you're never going to beat us. And that's all right in a league where you're getting into the game and you're 9 points, making it 12 ahead. But it just worries me, again, getting into that cup game. I just want to see us lift it a bit, because we are that much better than them. We do have that much more quality than them. I just feel sometimes you almost get dragged into their level a wee bit. Like, that game should have been out of sight, out of mind, that there was the Burnley Bay chance. Obviously, we spoke about it, but there was other chances just to bury it. And I thought even after we scored the first goal, the pressure started to really ramp up and we dominated a lot of possession. But I just feel as if it's all too often. I mean, the last game we beat them 2-1, and then before that, the 2-2. But that's what, 3 in the trot now, really, where we've probably come away from the game saying, fuck, we weren't that great, but you couldn't beat us. And I just think that you throw enough shit at the wall, some of it's going to stick. But I hope that we don't end up sort of eating our buds when we come into that cup game. And I don't want to put a dampener on it. It's just something to obviously think I'm wanting to talk about. I know we're that much better than them. I just love us to really go and stamp that authority. And we obviously were talking about the last game we will play the Ibrox in the league. Whether it's in the cup or in that, I want us to really ramp it up and show how good we are, and no, let them get close and all this shite to hang on to. Like, just pat them right back in their place is what I want to see.
Aye, of course, I think everybody's wanting the sort of bigger margins, and I think, as you mentioned, the chances for guys like Burnley Bay and that, and even a few other chances we had, and even in the cup final, you look at misses from like Haksabanovic and Matt O'Reilly that day as well, it could have been a different story. I think the one sort of positive I would take from what you're saying is the fact that don't get me wrong, I don't think Saturday we were as poor as we were in the game at Ibrox in January. I think out of the three games, we were by far, that was our worst performance, and they still couldn't beat us. I think the fact that we're still coming through these games, and I think it was Danny mentioned it, I think we've got too many good players to not be able to dig ourselves out of a hole if we're ever put in that sort of predicament, and it remains to be seen. As you say, like the cup game especially, like, it's going to be a one-off game. We obviously lost the Scottish Cup semi-final to them last year, and if we're not at it, then as much as they're not going to win the league, and they're not, like, everybody knows that Celtic's a better team than them, like, they do have enough quality that if we do have that much of an off day, there is always that chance. But it's just something that we'll come to in a few weeks when we discuss it. And just on Starfield, I agree with you. I thought that Starfield especially, I thought he maybe dug out Carter Vickers a few times in terms of getting him out of a hole. I thought that he was definitely the better centre-half on Saturday. And quite amazingly, I was just looking up there, I think that's 51 league games in a row unbeaten for Starfield when he's been playing it. I think he missed the St Mirren game earlier in this season, and you need to go back to Ibrox in the first derby and just first season for the last time Starfield was beaten in the league as a Celtic player. So I think for somebody that is often credited as being a liability, and some people still don't trust him an awful lot, I think that just shows how important he is to the defence. But Tony, we'll move on to this weekend. Celtic, the second last game before the split. They go to Rugby Park in search of another 3 points closer to the title. Last time we were at Rugby Park, you were that impressed with Kilmarnock that you went and bet them to finish bottom of the league. Do you still think they're that bad if they lived up to that sort of expectation? And what are you expecting from this weekend?
I think they are that bad. The only issue with that bet is Dundee United and Ross County might actually be worse, but I think it's still got half a chance. Dundee United got a good late winner against Hibs, so Kelly could still definitely finish bottom, especially if we give them a doing this weekend and hopefully hamper their goal difference. I think it was you who told me they've got the worst goal difference. It was about half an hour ago in the pod, Danny mentioned Kyogo completing a hat-trick of scoring into Rangers at Ibrox Parkhead in Hampden. And I just remembered when I was on the follow-follow thread, which I do, I must admit, I read it far too much. I should really get myself an account. There was a thread after the cup final saying that's Morelos joined the the band of people that have scored into Celtic at all these different locations. So it took him 6 years today, and it's St. Kyogo 3 games. So I just found that really funny. That I think he might have the same amount of Derby goals as Kent Morelos combined. They've been here since 2017 and 18. So good fun. I would like to think we can beat Kilmarnock. I went to the game where we beat them 5-0, and I thought they were absolutely atrocious. They still had big laugh at me at the time, and I couldn't even abuse that guy. I just laughed at how fucking bad he was. I think he's been sacked now, or he's been let go, and he's away back at, I think he might be at Linfield. That just seems like kind of perfect place for him to be. I'd like to think we can win. I think they'll probably get back to winning as well. They'll beat all the other shite. That's the only thing for next season. It'll probably be a closer race just due to them beating all the garbage teams. So, I think we'll win 3-0. I think the big fella will just be determined to just keep up this form and get that league win as soon as possible.
Yep, definitely. Danny, what are you expecting? Would you be making any changes to the team? Obviously, Sunday got a lot of praise on Saturday. When he came on with Tomoki Awata, would you be looking to bring him in, or is it a case of getting more minutes in Aaron Moy as we approach a semi-final?
I don't really know. I'd probably be trying to get Moy match fit for the semi-final. So I would keep him in the team. I just think they need to get Hatate back. Everybody seems to have glossed over it, and I was guilty as myself, but after about 20 minutes, 25 minutes on Saturday, it was so apparent how much we missed Hatate, and, you know, we miss the positions that he takes up, and the way that he can hold on to the ball, and the way that he moves the ball, and I thought that we really, really did miss his ability on Saturday. So I would hopefully he can be fit. I hope it's nothing serious with him, because that would be a big letdown. Sunday, I'd like to see Hak Sabanovic get a run in the team. I think, and don't get me wrong, I love him, and I think he's a great teammate. He's a great football player. I think Maeda's been a bit quiet for the last couple of weeks, and I'd like to see Hak Sabanovic come in and get a start. I think at the minute Hak Sabanovic, I'm kind of more confident in him doing something than Maeda at the minute. I think Maeda was flying when he came back for the World Cup, but I think since the Cup final, he's been on the quiet side. And I still think he's a brilliant player, but I just thought he was a wee bit off it on Saturday. Still stretches him, you know. He's a bit like Sinclair in a way, where it doesn't matter if he's playing well or not. He'll always keep the other team honest. You know, he's a workhorse, but I'd like to see Hak Sabanovic get a run, and hopefully Abada can get back fit as well, because he's another big player for us. And I can't see too many changes. I'd maybe bring Awata in for O'Reilly and just try and kind of settle in and get Moy back to full fitness, and I would bring Hak Sabanovic in. And I'd love to see O getting a start as well, but Kyogo's just playing so well. He's still scoring every week. It's very difficult to drop Kyogo because he just keeps scoring. So you don't really want anybody kind of going to fall tilt before the semi-final. So I wouldn't make too many changes. There's still a league to be won, and, you know, we're closer than we were last week, but, you know, it's not as if we can take our foot off the gas, and there's nothing in the 2 years of Ange coming up for that would suggest that he's looking to take his foot off the gas. So, I don't think there'll be too many changes, maybe one or two. Maybe Burnaby might come back in, but for Taylor, I don't know, but maybe two at the max.
Andy, what about you? Is there anybody you'd be looking to make changes with? I know Danny's mentioned Rio Hatate. I don't know if the pitch at Kilmarnock is the sort of best one to bring your players that are just back from injury in. Do you think that would maybe see him maybe missing another week? Or, as Danny said, we don't know the full extent of his injury. It might not even be in the question, but what would you be? How would your midfield look on Saturday, Sunday, I think the game is, isn't it?
Aye, Sunday, 12 o'clock, I think it is. I'd agree, it's probably not the surface you want with anybody. Perhaps struggles with injuries or just coming back from an injury. It's a fucking messy surface, so no one is sitting. Good, we all know it's a fucking mess. So I wouldn't want to risking for that, and I completely agree what's been said about that. Hitai, we missed him massively in that game. It's everything that he does. I've waxed lyrical fucking for long on a phone here about him, about how I think he's the best player in the country, and I stand by that wholeheartedly, and I think he could go as far as he wants in the game, but we miss him. But really, I wouldn't risk him there. I would just be working away in Lennox Town and doing everything we could to get him back in some capacity, at least for that game. But I think Iwata's probably got a good shout of coming in, if we're all sort of serious about it. I mean, he played the 90 against Ross County, and I thought he changed quite a bit. I mean, we scored two goals after he came on at the weekend there, and I thought he's got a calmness about him. He's one of the players that similar to Hitai in a way. Hitai's very good at it as well. Almost the play and when they receive the ball, it's almost as if they've got a yard or two more than anybody else who receives the ball in that position or a similar position. But that's about the way they take up the space and how they occupy the space. But it's impressive to watch because they constantly and they don't even fucking blink under pressure. Iwata and Hitai, they're both the exact same. I think he could potentially, if he keeps getting more game time, I think there's an argument for that he's really sort of playing his way into the team, because I thought he had a good 90 minutes against Ross County, and then when he came off the bench, he'd done really, really well. So I think if he starts, you really could see him sort of trying to claim his spot in the team. So I think there's an argument there for him, and I would agree about Haksabanovic as well. A player I rate also very highly, and I thought Maeda, he was quiet, and he has been fairly quiet. I think he gets a really hard time, but I think sometimes any players really can get rotated and can bring other people in, especially when we've got that much quality in the team. So I would, they're the two. I don't think we'll make wholesale changes unless there's a niggle somewhere if Taylor's. Obviously, he's had his injury problems this season. You maybe want to avoid him in that surface or anything like that. But I really think it's Iwata and Haksabanovic are the two. If it's the sort of same squad and same levels of fitness that we had at the weekend, they're the two that I think should be in with a shout again into the team. But Kilmarnock are fucking dreadful. That's the problem with a lot of teams in this league. They're just fucking no very good. Just a team of hammer throwers. But there'll be no let up with us. I think we know that long enough now. I just think we're at the point. Anyway, we even need to discuss the manager making wholesale changes and turning up and changing 5, 6, 7 players. It just doesn't happen. We're too relentless for that. We're too focused to consistently keeping their levels as high as they possibly can be, and you do that by playing your strongest or one of your strongest teams. So I think we'll go we'll go there with a full mindset of setting about them the same way we do every other team that we play.
Aye, definitely, and I think just the one thing on the sort of team selection, the fact that we are having this sort of week between games, and it is just sort of silencing that a bit, because there's just, like Danny mentioned, that you could very easily make a case for Oak getting a start, but it's just impossible to drop Kyogo at this moment in time. Like, I think for Oak to start, you'd need to find a way to get the two of them playing in the same team, and it's like Kyogo's, unless he tells Ange that he's no fit or he picks up a knock, then I don't think there's any way he's no starting at the weekend. And I think Haksabanovic, he's had a good few weeks now, and when he's come off the bench, he's seemed to have a good impact. And even Burnaby, like as you mentioned, like he's another one who's been playing a lot recently, and I know he's still a bit raw at times, but I don't think anybody would really be worried if he was playing on Sunday, especially on that pitch. Iwata, I think he will come in. I think he played well up at Ross County, and as you say, we got two goals after he came on. I thought he was the perfect sub we needed at the time on Saturday, and I think that I don't know who'll drop out the midfield, because as I say, I think Aaron Moy could do with another 60, 70 minutes under his belt to sort of get back to fitness and full match readiness in terms of like for the bigger games we've got coming up. But I agree with what you say, Andy. I don't think Kamarnock's very good. As Tony said, they've got a good chance that they still might finish bottom or in one of the relegation places. So I'd fully expect us to go there. We're on 98 league goals. I'd like to think we'll get a goal 99 and 100 at least on Sunday. And then you just go from there. As I say, you take it one game at a time. If we win this game, it'll be, at the very worst, we'll be 12 points with 6 games to go. And who knows, I think they're playing St Mirren this week, so not the worst team in the league, but you would expect them to still get full points. But we can only do what's in front of us, and that's going to be beating Kilmarnock. Tony's already predicted 3-0. I think it'll be similar. I think it might be 4-0 to Celtic, and I think Kyogo's just impossible to keep off the score sheet now, so I'll give him a double along with Aaron Moy and the aforementioned Carol Starfield. I think he get a goal there in August as well, and I think he'll get back on the score sheet and send us another 3 points closer to the title. Danny, what's your prediction?
I think it'll be 4-0, and I'll go for a Kyogo hat trick, and Haksabanovic will get there.
Andy, you want to round us off?
I'm going to go for, fuck it, I think we'll get them a total down. I think they are really one of the worst teams in the league. I think we'll go 5-0. I'm going to say Alex Abanovich will be in the score sheet. I think Kyogo, in fact, I think there'll be 5 different scorers. I'm going to say Alex Abanovich, Kyogo, Yota, and Callum McGregor. There you go.
Well, that would be very much appreciated if Celtic are able to provide a comfortable victory, as we've all predicted there. We will be back after that game. We'll look back at what's happened at Rugby Park, and we'll also preview the Motherwell game, which will be the final game before the split. But if you've made it this far, I know it's been a long episode, we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Keep an eye on our Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Four Times Our Podcast just for all the latest from us, and we will speak to you next week. Cheers.
Made you win. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.